I want to talk to you tonight about covenantal praying. You know, nothing happens without prayer. Nothing happens without prayer. It's communication with God. And one of the most difficult things it is to get people to do is to pray. And we pray at mealtime. We pray it. Somebody's sick. We pray when there's a need. But how many times have we heard that prayer is communication with God both ways? Not only us talking to God, but God talking to us. So tonight we're going to talk about that. You know, just as an illustration, Sir Henry Morton Stanley Livingston, conducted his famed search for Dr. Livingston in Africa. He was confronted by a particularly powerful tribe that tried to hinder him from proceeding. And the guide who was with him explained that if he wanted to continue his search, he would have to cut a covenant with the chief of that tribe. He wasn't sure what that implied, so he asked. The guide explained that there would be an exchange of gifts and that the blood would be shed, Dr. Stanley as well as the chiefs. And they agreed and they began the process. Before the blood was shed, they had to exchange gifts. Dr. Stanley was not in good health and took a goat with him everywhere he went for its milk. When the chief said that he wanted that goat, therefore it was a difficult decision for Stanley to make, but he said, "I'll take the goat." If he failed to please the chief and did not successfully cut the covenant, he would not be allowed to continue his search for Dr. Livingston. In the end, he yielded and gave the goat, and in exchange, he received a tall spear wrapped with copper. And in the end, he yielded and gave the goat and took the copper thing and went. And after all, what practical good would it be to him to have that staff? Nevertheless, he did it. The very next time his party met someone along the way, a very unusual thing happened. The person that met bowed before Dr. Stanley. He didn't understand this at first until he was told that the chief had given him the symbol of his own authority. Stanley had been worried about losing a goat, but now he could request a whole herd of goats if he wanted to. And if you read the rest of that story, every place he went in Africa, they recognized a spear and let him in and let him travel unhurt and unscathed because he was in partnership with that very powerful chieftain. How many know that God has cut a covenant with you and I by the blood of Jesus Christ? We don't realize the impact we have when we pray. It's not just a beggarly prayer that we come and pray. When we pray, we have the power and the authority of Almighty God. And we'll talk about what that covenant is all about. But the enemy has occupied the ground that was given to our ancestors for too long. It's time for us to take the ground back. In prayer, we must take it back. And because of the eternal covenant made with the eternal God, we have eternal promises. When we declare, all of heaven pays attention. And you better believe all of hell pays attention. When we beg, nobody listens. But when we declare, heaven listens and hell listens. We must get the idea of contract out of our thinking. This is a covenant that we've made. And this covenant praying, when we pray instead of Jesus declaring on this earth. When we pray, we declare the words of Christ through our mouth. A covenant in the biblical sense implies much more than a contract or a simple agreement. A covenant, that's why we call it a covenant of marriage. How many know when we get married, we make a covenant with one another, not a contract? Why? Because a contract can be broken. A contract that starts has a beginning and has an end. Covenant begins and it has no end. Another difference is that a contract generally involves only one part of a person, such as a skill, while a covenant covers a person's total being. When God made a covenant with us, it wasn't for what we could give him. It was because of who we are. He's made us a new creation, and he's made us righteous. Now watch what the Word of God says in James chapter 5, verse 16. Says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent prayer, when we pray and make declarations, heaven listens. The covenant that was made with us is special because it involves the Father's authority and power being transferred to us. His power and authority. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 16. John 16. And, you know, we read this sometimes fast and we don't catch the meaning of it, but there's so much meaning in these couple of verses. John 16, and I'm in verse 23. He's talking to his disciples, and he says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Now, how about that promise? Let me read it again, because we in the Greek it means the same thing, by the way. "Most assuredly I say to you," in that day we ask me nothing, "most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So in other words, if you could catch this, in other words, when we go before the Father and we pray, it's just as if Jesus is talking to the Father. Are you there? Now, if my son calls me on the phone and asks me for something, anything I have is his. How many feel that way about your children and grandchildren? Especially grandchildren. Whatever they ask, we'll find a reason or find a way to get it. Whatever they ask. How much more will Heavenly Father answer, because we're asking in the name of Jesus, as if we were Jesus speaking to the Father. That same oneness that they have, I can't ever imagine Jesus talking to the Father and the Father saying no to him. Can you? They're in perfect unity, perfect harmony, and he calls us to the same thing. A covenant, if you're taking notes tonight, a covenant, there's two covenants that's talked about in the Word. The first is a covenant of law. And in Galatians 4:24, you can jot that down. Let me read it to you. "Which things are symbolic, for these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all." This is the ministry that's been given to us, not a covenant of law. How many know Abraham got excited about having a child, went into Hagar, and all we've had is problems ever since? How many have ever felt like when you pray, you want to believe God answered a prayer and you make it happen yourself? God didn't tell you to do it. You just say, "Well, I prayed, I'm going to go ahead and do it." How many are there? And you get halfway down the road and you go, "Wait a minute, God didn't tell me to do this," and it doesn't work. Why? Because you're counting on a legalistic thing, something from your flesh instead of from the heart. 2 Corinthians 3:7 says this, "But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory." If we would realize the things that are done in prayer to shift our very atmosphere, we'd spend a lot more time doing it. I'm not just talking about in a national way or in an area way. I'm talking about in our own lives. Because there's certain things that are promised us that are ours through declarations. Praying is a lot more declaration than it is. But we spend time, you've heard me say before, and we've talked about it before, how when we pray, we ask for things that are already ours. We waste a lot of time. We declare in prayer, "The ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory." But the covenant of promise, the covenants that were made with Adam and Abraham and Noah and David, were made by God's divine will. None of those men had anything to offer God. When you and I came to God, we had nothing to offer. But the covenant of Christ gave us power. When Christ came as the mediator of the new covenant, it was to bring to man again the blessings of God that were impossible to access otherwise. but we access through the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever you ask in my name, I will give you, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hebrews 9:15 puts it this way, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. We talk a lot about eternal life and our destiny, but how many know God wants us to start spending the inheritance now? Are you there? We spend the inheritance now. What is the inheritance? To rule and reign and have dominion. To make declarations. To see lives change. To see areas change. To see nations change. To shake up the kingdom of darkness. Amen? This is what he has given us. Now, when you and I stand in prayer before God, we are covenant partners through him who made the covenant on our behalf. So he expects us to declare. He expects us to ask him to move and change our lives, our areas. We have the rights and privileges to come before God and access all that is needed for success in our lives. We have that right. How many of you know God wants to succeed? I've said it before, I'll say it 100 times more. God's intent is not that we fall. He's made provisions if we fall. His intent is that we succeed. All we need provision is ours, because we cannot carry out the direction of God without his belongings given to us to complete the task. So we pray for the power, we pray for the anointing, what to say, what to do, how to conduct ourselves. God gives us the master plan to be a success. Our prayers come from a position of covenant. Therefore, they carry divine authority, and miracles, signs, and wonders result. I love it when James and Amy talk, when they go somewhere and they pray for somebody, they get out of a wheelchair, their eyes are open. There's miracles that are happening. Why? Because they carry the divine authority for signs and wonders. Prayer that changes things is covenantal prayer. Prayer that's the same thing over and over and over again are frustrating, and people don't want to pray because nothing ever comes of it. Come on, somebody. I grew up in a United Methodist Church, and we said the Apostles' Creed every Sunday. It had absolutely no meaning. And our prayers that were written by somebody 50 years ago in an old, musty office somewhere. Come on, someone. But our prayers are alive and active. And when we declare, God listens. Watch what John 16:23 says again. I'll repeat it. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most surely I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This covenant is cutting a covenant was a powerful thing. Let me go through that. I won't spend a lot of time on it. Most of you know what happened, but in a covenant, an animal is sacrificed, usually a bull, a goat, or a lamb, is killed and cut in half. Down the center, the two halves are separated with a pool of blood between them. How many know who our covenant sacrifice was? Jesus Christ. He was our sacrifice. Then each participant removes his coat, a sign of the tribe's identity and authority, and gives it to the other participant. We've been given the robe of righteousness. Come on, somebody. By doing so, he says, everything I am and everything I represent now belongs to you. You know, you could trace a covenant back in every civilized nation, uncivilized, every nation of the world, when you go back in their history, had covenants. Usually two men met, either a representative of each man, being a priest, or the men themselves. They would cut themselves, bleeding, shake hands, bleed into each other's blood. They would let the blood drip in a cup, mix it with wine or not mix it with wine, and each would drink the blood of that covenant, and they were covenant partners forever. Then they rubbed some kind of a dirt or powder or something in it so it would never heal correctly. So everywhere they went, the mark of the covenant would be in their hand. Who do we serve that has the mark of the covenant in his hands? Come on, somebody. After that, they would exchange weapons. Each participant removes his weapon belt, which included his sword and bow. They would exchange these belts and by so doing declare to each other, "All my strength now belongs to you. My enemies are now your enemies." It was saying that when an enemy attacked, then my blood covenant brother had a responsibility to defend me the same as he would himself. How many know we are no longer fighting the enemy by ourselves? Don't believe that Hollywood Christianity that says we fight demons by ourselves. We fight demons in the name of Jesus. My Bible says if I resist the devil, he'll flee. Why? Because I belong to Jesus Christ. When he comes to me, he comes to Jesus. Then watch this. The exchange of names. Each participant takes the other's name on himself. A person's name represents his individuality. This exchange of names demonstrates a death to being an individual. Remember that covenant is the union of two people. Your concern now includes your blood covenant brother. You care for your blood brother the same as you care for yourself because the two of you are now one. How many know an attack on me is an attack on Christ? An attack on you is an attack on Christ. I think Christ can beat him, can't, don't you? After this, the participant walks a path in the shape of a figure eight. If you remember what Moses did, Abraham did when he cut the covenant with God. He put the animals in and walked between them. This is what he did. Between the halves of the slain animal, then stops in the midst of the pool of blood to pronounce the blessings and the curses of the covenant. You can read that in Deuteronomy 28. The curses would be brought to bear upon the one who broke the blood covenant. It basically said the one who breaks his covenant will die just like this animal has died. Pledge was also made that said, just as this animal gave its life, so I will give my life for you if necessary. Who gave his life for us? Jesus Christ. Then a knife is used to make an incision, like I talked about, in either the palms or the wrist of each participant. The blood flowed between the two of them. This symbolized the two bloods, the two lives, being joined into one blood and one life. Each would drink from the cup, demonstrating their union. The actual practice of cutting the covenant varies in a lot of cultures. When it was finished, though, a substance would be rubbed into the wounds again so it would never heal. And then they would sit down and eat a meal together. Of guess what? Bread and wine. Each fed the other, signifying that all I am is coming into you. The covenant meal usually ended the blood covenant ceremony. At this point, a new relationship is born. It's a love relationship. This kind of love is called hesed in Hebrew and agape in the Greek. It is a love that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. See, the awesome thing that happened at the Last Supper when Christ celebrated the Passover, he took the cup of Elijah. If you've ever saw a Seder, there's a cup that belongs to Elijah. Nobody touches it. It's a sacred cup. And a true Jewish family will leave the door propped open while they have the covenant meal because they expect Elijah to be coming. That's Elijah's cup. So it's a symbolic cup. They fill it with wine. Nobody touches it the whole night. That's the cup that Jesus took. This is the cup of the covenant shed for you. He fulfilled that. How many know he fulfilled that? Made covenant with us. Why? So that when we pray, the promises come to pass in this new covenant. We have prayed such weak prayers for so long. We'd be surprised when God moves. How many know God is ready to move if we'll just believe and make those declarations? Let me go through five promises in the new covenant, then I'll let you go. Number one, the promise of the law of God written in our hearts. That's a covenant promise. The old covenant could never be realized by man because we did not know God. Sin stood between us and him. The sin nature rendered us dead, but when we became alive, we knew God. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, clearly you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with the ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is the heart. Christ wrote his covenant on our heart. This will change your prayer life if you get a hold of it. Because when we pray, we declare. The whole of the prayer that Jesus said in the model prayer, it's a declaration. There's no begging in there at all. It's a declaration. Watch what it says. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. It's a command. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a declaration. Deliver us not from... Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. How many of you know that's a covenant prayer? We needed a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit, and God provided it for us. When a sinner prays, all he receives is the mercy of God. When we pray, we receive much more than that. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Oh, that's a promise of God. We say, God, how can I live up to this life that you want me to live? Allow Jesus to live through us. Secondly, is the promise of a unique relationship with God. This promise is to all that would come, more than just a nation, but for all peoples. Our relationship with him is personal. It is never solitary, though. The lost sheep was brought to the flock, the lost coin back with the nine, and the prodigal back with the family. God always sets us in the body. We are not alone. The promise of a unique relationship between God and his people. When I go to prayer, God listens. Why? Because I'm standing instead of Christ. The third is the promise of the knowledge of the Lord. Jeremiah 31:34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all will know him. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. What a promise. Far beyond teaching about God, all have access to God. 1 John says we don't have any need of anybody teaching us because we know. That's a lot of responsibility. And Brandon and I were talking about this earlier. What cannot be taught is now caught. We must trust God to work this out for us. When we pray, we release our faith that those things are done. Although God has been merciful forever, there could be no eradication of sin without a perfect sacrifice. Christ died, perfect sacrifice. His blood avails for us. The blood plus nothing. It's the promise of the forgiveness of sins. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Terry and I were just talking about that to somebody tonight. God has not... He doesn't have just the authority to forgive us of our sins, but remember them no more. Hallelujah. Amen. God, we get to hear what God's plans are. How many know God's about building a kingdom? This sin forgiveness thing that our generation has gotten into holds us to a place we never grow. We never do anything. We never affect an area. We're just part of the group. How many know God's intent is that we rule and reign? Our prayers are declaration that changes the atmosphere. We are his plan. We're not an accident. And the biggest promise is the promise of eternal inheritance. Hebrews chapter 9. Turn there with me. Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9, in closing. This covenant prayer that he allows us to pray, Hebrews 9:15, and for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. We talked about that on Sunday. What's inheritance? It's the ability to pray and see people healed. It's the ability to pray and have us healed. It's whatever you ask in my name, it's provision for us, prosperity for us, health for us, health for those we pray for. For where there is a testament, verse 16, there also must be necessity, the death of the testator. What did he die for? He just didn't die so we'd occupy heaven. The last 200 years of the church, we always have this hope of heaven coming. We want to get to heaven. We die, we're going to go to heaven. How many know God wants to bring heaven here? His goal is to bring heaven here, the kingdom of God here. Heaven is just a byproduct. Whatever that's going to be when we get there, I don't imagine we're going to sit around and do nothing. He's going to keep us busy. I mean, no, with the whole universe, he's going to keep us busy. But that's not our main focus. It's not, boy, I can't wait to get to heaven. That's a given. God says, I want you to occupy right here. I died to bring the kingdom of God here. For a testament is in force, verse 17, after men are dead, since it has no power at all, while the testator lives. And so Christ died, but he didn't stay dead. When he rose as King of kings and Lord of lords. And, of course, the genius was that he occupies all of us. So he's everywhere. The only requirement for us is faith in Jesus Christ, this covenant that he's made with us. When we pray, he listens. When we pray, things happen. If you've been praying and praying and praying and nothing is happening, change the way you pray. Start to declare. Don't beg him anymore. Declare it. I have to be confident that what Christ has did for us, he did well. It's not us. If it were our works, Christ wouldn't have had to die. Nobody's going to get a gold star for perfect attendance when we get to heaven. Matter of fact, my Bible says when we get to heaven, we'll cast our crowns before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the only one that could do it anyway. And as I like to say, we're zero with the rim kicked off. We're nothing without Christ. He set such the example. You know, I love it when he was standing. Terry and I were talking about this the other day. He was standing in front of Lazarus' grave. And he said, I thank you, Father in heaven, that you already heard my prayer, but for these standing around. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. Woo-hoo! How many know? There are people that you've been praying for in your families. You say they're too far gone. Man, change the way you pray. Start to declare them. Start to call them as if they were. Remember my spiritual mother, when she was praying for her son, started getting a vision. She saw him leaving the door, her front door, and walking down the sidewalk carrying a Bible. And she would hold on to that every time she'd pray. She'd see him leaving the door carrying a Bible. And he was smoking half a bag of dope a day at the time. And after he got saved, he was leaving the house one day and walking down the sidewalk, and it's the exact vision God had given her. Carrying a Bible, going to prayer meeting. Change the way we pray, and we'll change our area. We'll change our atmosphere. We're not begging someone. We're not trying to twist God's arm. God, would you please, if you have time, could you come? Of course he wants his kingdom to come. Of course he wants to change hearts. They may be stubborn, but they can't get far from God. My son's one of the most stubborn people I know, but he can't run far from God. God's got him on a chain. He's going to call him back. Somebody said he's the hound of heaven. He never gives up. He never gives up. But our declaration of prayer. Now, I don't know why heaven did it this way. I would have much rather had it so heaven does their thing and we just watch. Come on, somebody. Get saved and then just watch God come and sweep everybody else into the kingdom. But he doesn't do that. He uses you and I. He uses our prayers. So we're a participant in the fulfillment of the prayer as well as the one that prays. We pray, we say, God, change this area. He said, well, I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this now. If you're going to change the area, join this group. Go to this meeting. Do this. Do that. Well, I thought you were going to do this. Yeah, but I'm not going to do it without you. He's going to involve the church. So powerful covenantal prayers, if we can remind ourselves, you have to jot it down in front of your Bible. When I pray, heaven listens. When I pray, heaven heeds. Whatever I ask in prayer believing, I'll receive. Write those things down. Begin to claim them and stand on them. Watch what happens. Amen? Because we've been discouraged long enough. I'm done with discouragement. Said that the other day. I'm done with discouragement. Now I want to see things happen. And as we declare as giants in the faith, because that's what we are, we haven't lived this long for nothing. God didn't keep us alive this long. I'm looking at some pretty gray heads. I'm a gray head now. He kept us alive for a reason. Otherwise, we'd be in heaven with Him or be in glory, wherever that is. Come on, someone. But He didn't. He left us here for a purpose and a reason. Father, I thank You for Your covenant that You made with us. I thank You for the power of prayer. I thank You that when I speak, heaven listens. I thank You, God, that when my brothers and sisters declare, Lord God, You listen. You're our covenant partner. You've given us Your robe. You've given us our belt. You've given us our weapons. God, You've clothed us in righteousness. Lord, we're Your representatives here on this earth. God, would You jettison our prayers to a higher level? God, would You help, let us see with our eyes Your promises coming to pass? Let us hear with our ears people making a covenant with You and coming back. We pray for the backslider and the prodigal. God, may they come back because the church has been revived and we're standing in the power that You originally planned for us. Please forgive us for forgetting who we are in You, for hiding our robe of righteousness, for not taking up the whole armor of God because we want somebody else to do it. Forgive us of all that, God, that we might change things from here forward. We can't change what yesterday bore, but we can tomorrow. So God, we covenant again with You. We take the facts of the covenant and allow it to change the way we speak, the way we talk, the way we act in this world. You've made us more than conquerors, overcomers in the name of Jesus. We thank You for Your applying Your blood to this. God, whatever was said to spoke to our heart, would You build a hedge of protection round about it, plant that seed deep within us, that we may never be the same again, according to Your loving kindness and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.